let's begin. Thanks, Jenna. Senses of the soul. So we understand senses. We understand certainly our physical senses that we use to be able to perceive this, the physical world, in this case calling it like the world of form. So where there are physical forms, our physical senses enable us to engage with those forms in order to bring the experience of those forms through us, and we learn and engage with life through looking at those, through the use of those forms. And so we have like the physical senses that you will all know, with our sight and our hearing and our smell and touch and taste. These are gateways through which we give and receive energy. Yeah. These physical senses are actually connected to what we call the pentagramic energy system. That the body in our physicality, like we understand very much, probably our sevenfold energy system, which we talk about as our chakras, processing physical energy within the body. But our body design, in esoterics, they talk about the 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. These are aspects that define the form of the being. The one which we might relate to our divine spark, our oneness, the 3 being more like the trinity of consciousness. The 7 we know because, we've got these chakras. The 9 sort of brings it all together. It's the totality of the complex. The 5 we don't often hear as much about. And yet it's so obvious because, look at your hands. How many fingers do you have? Look at your toes. Look at your limbs. We have a whole 5 thing going down in us. The pentagramic form. And the 5 physical senses relate to that pentagramic form. The pentagramic energy system is also connected to the soul body. So it's kind of like the bridge between the consciousness and the physicality. So 7 being more our physicality, 3 being more like consciousness, 5 is like that bridge between the consciousness and the physicality, the pentagramic form. In esoterics, depending on which schools you look at, they teach about these 5 energy systems that are part of the pentagramic channel, which also marry with your 5 physical senses. So in the way that I was taught, white is like the thumb, connected with the sense of hearing. So sound being this aspect, and connecting with thought, and many other things. The pointer being to do with the pentagramic red system. So not to be confused with the red of the chakra system. We're talking about different systems, yeah? But again, energy often expresses itself through colour as just a frequency set. So the sitting with this red system is the taste, so the connection with the stomach and the mouth and the taste, these red systems which are very automatic. The blue systems of the being connected with our sense of touch and bringing us to our higher instinctive sensitivities. Interesting, it's the longest finger. We sense things first before we experience them physically. The yellow systems, like of the ring finger, yellow is much more to do with the emotional connection. So this is actually the sense of smell. Very interesting how emotive smell is. Often when you get a smell, you'll get memory, because it's all connected with that system. Your little pinky, it's your green system. Within esoterics, they teach power is in small. When you have compression, you have most power. Obviously, when you have most expansion, you have most dispersion. So more quantity, but less power, that kind of system. So the green is very potent. And this is your sight, because it works with light. It's your most potent system. And certainly as a human, it's our primary sense. We use sight really more than any of our other senses, which is quite often why we have to close our eyes to actually tune into other senses, because sight is quite dominant. The green systems, obviously growth and all of these kind of things sits with our sexual energies and, you know, many other things. So this sits within our physicality and is part of the soul system, but in its expression through the physical. So while they are connected to the soul, they are connected more to the physical expression of the soul and the way that the soul receives and works with energy in the world of form. From these five systems, there is a... So it's a bit like this... A circle with the cross within it, which is an expression of the always where there is containment of anything, of energy. You're really working off elemental principles. So even within that system, we're still marrying it, you know, with fire, with water, with air, and with earth against those systems. The thing that can touch them all is the white system. So the white can know it all. So it's like the centering, the center which knows it all. Yep. So with that, we have this kind of aspect going on. This is kind of like the symbol that we're working with this year. So in the center is this fiveness that is actually four elements with a centering. And surrounding that is that, you know, within the physical worlds, in how we experience this world of form, in order to, you know, why do we experience this world of form? Because, you know, we are this divine being experiencing the world to grow and know itself as this aspect of the divinity. Yeah, so we're feeding our experience back, you know, back up the thresholds back, so that our divine aspect can become more informed. So this is the progression of what we call like the world of form to the aspect of the real. The definition in this case of the real is another, you could also talk about this as the world of no form. So the world of simply consciousness or the world of divinity. You know, it's just another name that can represent that aspect. Three border senses. So we have these five engagements with the physical world. They pass in their expression back to divine. We have three of what we call border senses. Border senses both have an aspect of the harvesting of the consciousness of what you experienced. Yeah, is one way of describing that. In this case, in this progression from the form to the real, the three border senses of the physical world, we would characterize as the mind, the emotion, and the feeling. So the ability to know, to make meaning of our experience, the ability to obviously to feel, to have emotion in relation to that experience. And in this case, emotion and feeling being slightly different things, feeling having this more instinctive type nature, which is kind of like a passage of information, because sometimes we can get a feeling about something, which is like information coming to us or passing from us, which is not actually connected to our mind or emotion. Yeah, it's like a third vector. Yeah. So these three, the mind, the emotion, and the feeling, being like the trinity of consciousness through which the physical expression of these soul senses feed back to the real. So hopefully everyone's still with me. It's not too technical. Everyone's okay. Please ask questions if you get lost, okay? This bit's just a wee bit technical. It'll get way bit lot easier, but I'm just trying to set the frame into which we're talking, okay? All right. When I'm actually doing anything with that one, that's just a locator, okay? So that you can get a sense of it, because typically we can get a good feel for our senses because we all experience them, yeah? And we can kind of get a sense of those border conscious filters which help harvest our experiences in order to send them to the real. Yeah, so that's just kind of like to give us a locator. what we're doing this year is we're working with these. These are the other way round. So this was like, okay, this takes it from the world of form to the real or the unform. We're going to look at what we use that goes the other way, the higher soul senses, which enable us to draw the energy, or to process the energy that comes through from the divine aspect of ourselves, that works through the soul body, in order to grow the soul through its experience in the world of form. So we're working the other way around. So instead of looking at from this physical world and how it goes to the divine, we're going to look at the other way. Let's look at the divine, how it works through our soul, which are the higher senses that we utilize in order to grow our soul, in order to experience ourselves in the world of matter or the world of form. That's really the inquiry for this year. So I found it, you know, it's a very interesting work. Also, because of the history of humankind. Because it's interesting, you know, there's been a lot within the cards of, you know, reconnecting to Atlantis and Lemuria and, you know, this kind of thing. The checkered history of our time is that, you know, so the story goes, is that back in those times, there really was a fall of consciousness for humanity. Because of things that happen, you know, some speak of it as like a galactic war, you know, we lost, and so conditions came in that then, to some extent enslaved humanity. Part of that enslavement or occupation involved a being able to manage the human race that was upon the planet. In that time, from what I understand, that, you know, we, from having the soul senses very active and present and experiencing what at that time was like a golden age of consciousness of humanity, that in the council of negotiation, it was, okay, you can retain one of the five and the others will be not removed, but diminished, made less active through a frequency net or a situation that they could bring to actually suppress the aspect of those senses. And not sure, true or not, who knows, these are stories, but that in the negotiation of the council, they said, okay, if we can only retain one, we will choose to retain the sense of the divine out of the five soul senses. And absolutely, and more than you can say, because the knowledge was of the sages at that time was that if we could retain the sense of the divine, we could always find our way back and we could rebuild the others, because they all basically hinge on the sense of the divine. And indeed, as a what's known as like a bridge form, or a form that is self-realized in that it can sense its own divinity, which is what we are, and indeed there are other sentient beings on the planet, like the whales and the dolphins, and, you know, probably unicorns and all kinds of things that, you know, have this aspect, that they are aware of their divine nature. When you have an awareness of your divine nature, then you're able to express that divine nature through these other senses. And they all give ways of the soul to interact within to the world of form. So today, what we're working on is that these are basically the same as this inner circle again. So the divine is the center. So, you know, in terms of what we were doing before, you know, this is like the white. Okay, so the divine nature, the ability to perceive and know it all, hence mostly white being the grid for today, this aspect of the white. Interesting holding other aspects of, like the gold, because of course it holds both the Buddhic and the Christ consciousness within these aspects. So interesting that all of that often came up in our circle as well. So the divine holding the center. The desire related to the red system, working through the aspect of fire, if you had to give it an elemental nature. The dream, working through the blue systems, working with element of water, if you had to give it that kind of thing. The memory, working through the yellow systems, so this aspect of connection, and exchange being the green systems, and of course, again, the divine can touch it all, yeah, to gather the knowledge. So these are the five soul senses, and these are the three border senses, which provide the conscious filter for the soul body, okay? The soul body, why does it have a conscious filter? Is because the soul moves through densities. So our soul for quite some time has been experiencing its growth through this third density, so, you know, the 3D world, yeah? There are filters in place for the soul to then work and gather its next journey at the fourth density dimensional construct. And these border senses of the soul bring the bridging between the third density and the fourth density. So useful also to be working into them in our latter part of the year, because again, they will help us to come into those aspects of the border senses that help us bridge into the next density. So, because this is where we are sitting, in a humanity that is spanning both those densities.
Why do you think so many people they realize we're in 3D and then they're skipping straight to 5D?
It's,
you know, there's not much talk of 4D. You
know? No, and yet it's an interesting viewpoint that personally, I don't think there's any shortcuts. You know, I don't think that we can just forget that there is 4D in between. And as far as I understand it, is that, you know, fourth dimension is still within the physicality, but that within the fourth dimension, we embrace love consciousness. Yeah. We have a different perspective on the time matrix, and so time becomes much more fluid landscape. Yeah. And we learn to integrate higher consciousness aspects and become much more the creator of our evolutionary pathway.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more complicated in that. Rather than skip straight to 5D, it was like,
what happened to 4D? Like, sure, you look, there are lots of different perspectives on it. It's not mine. As far as
a lot of it going on.
I do understand that, and I think there is a great attraction, because, you know, there's this idea that fifth dimension, you know, holds this great wisdom consciousness. But, you know, it's a wisdom consciousness that is much more married with love consciousness. So, you know, it's kind of like that marriage of the Christ and Buddhic consciousness. But we have to learn to truly love ourselves before we can get there. And so that whole thing of the journey of loving yourself, this is the fourth dimensional consciousness. And there's no shortcuts as far as I'm aware. What would you say, Alain?
I was going to say, I haven't heard any of that, but I'm kind of don't circle, you know. But sometimes you don't have a choice, because I found that I was, my name Alea, Alea Shamala Kutumi, actually is a fifth dimension consciousness. And I was told to bring that consciousness into my physicality. And that was maybe 15, 20 years ago that happened.
Sure.
And I had no idea, never heard of fourth dimension, never experienced it, but I obviously did, because it was almost like a spontaneous, I had no say in it. I did. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's not a conscious, it wasn't a conscious step by really for me. I found myself suddenly made aware of this other aspect of myself that I needed to align with and bring in. And it was mainly for teaching.
Yes.
And
yes,
I had to see that place of love and wisdom to be able to do that.
Yes. And indeed, you know, there are six dimensional beings that also come in But again, what are they doing? They're seeding codings, yeah, being able to anchor frequencies so that we can continue to shift the density.
Yeah.
But as far as the progression of the greater soul consciousness, I believe it has to go through the levels.
Yeah. Couldn't it be people like human beings from different dimensions that had already different dimensions experience, and maybe they're in different stages of evolution amongst us?
Why not? Totally, I would totally agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, who were the masters that walked upon the earth? You know, there definitely are beings that have incredible wisdom and abilities that walk amongst us that, you know, we meet in all kinds of ways or hear about.
It makes me wonder if it's another typical human thing about, you know, rushing through. So that maybe it's a reflection of the downfall of Atlantis and stuff, of wanting to jump into this higher mind dimension and, you know, not actually holding the fourth dimension.
Yes, one of the things that Matthias De Stefano, he spoke about this recently on one of his things, and he was also saying that, you know, why are we in a rush?
Yeah.
He said, you know, really, you know, fourth dimension's great, and it's all about learning to love ourselves and to truly embody love upon the planet. And that, he said, if you're in a rush, you know, you're going to get up to sixth dimension and you're going to go, well, I'm bored because, you know, everything's oneness here and, you know, there's nothing to actually play with. And he said all the sixth dimension guys want to come back down and play again in the third again. But, you know, that was, I'm sure he was joking around. But his viewpoint that he was sharing was this thing of sometimes we have a feeling that we want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas he says it's not so much that, it's actually learning to love being here. And that's actually what is divinizing the matter. And in fact, the essence of the talk that we're doing today, in this sense of divinity or sense of divine, is about our capacity to divinize the world around us. So to bring our consciousness, our meaning, our memory, our love into ourselves and into the world, and therefore transforming where we are rather than wishing to escape into something that is not off here.
That's a beautiful mantra. I think we can walk away today and have that in the forefront of our mind, that that's what we want to do for definitely this month. That's amazing.
Not mine, but yeah.
But
yes.
Isn't it? So
yes,
to have
sure.
that in the forefront of your mind, to go away and to do that as a mantra for the rest of your life.
Totally, yes. It's who we are, is the reality of it. So today, so the journey of the year will take us through each of these. So that's the journey. So each month we will move through one of the soul senses, investigating it, expanding what is it, how do we grow it, how do we develop it, how do we perceive it, and having a play in that direction. So we start today with the sense of the divine, because really it's the bit that we already have, and it's the bit from which everything stems from. That this sense of the divine, so as I was just saying, you know, historically what there was, you know, this was the thing that we actually were able to keep. And how do we know this? What's the evidence of this? The evidence is that throughout humankind history, despite everything else that has happened, we have always retained this ability to either conceive of, imagine, or create human divinity. Yeah. Even, you know, with you looking at indigenous tribes, the sense of the being able to, you know, sing their ancestors to a particular point, whether it was that mountain across the ocean to, you know, to the sky, or wherever they perceived was their container for their ancestors. And so they would continue to sing the soul, the residual meaning, memory of the being into these points. When you keep doing that, what happens is that in that point, you create, initially what you create is actually an entity. An entity is simply a collection of energies that form a consciousness, yeah? By continual practices, which include ceremony, devotion, you know, these higher feelings being projected into this form, it becomes self-realized. And in that point, it becomes a divinity, a human-created divinity. And then what happens is that when then they ask questions into this, it can answer them, because now it has consciousness. Also, it has a higher consciousness, usually than the people who are asking, because it is a collective consciousness, yeah? And because it is a collective consciousness, it then has abilities to bridge into higher consciousness, and it actually becomes part of the divinity ecosystem of being able to bridge from the ancestors to higher consciousnesses, which can then talk to higher consciousness, and then we get this whole ability of step up and step down, and so we get the wisdom that comes to us from the connection with the ancestors. So this ability to divinize energy is an aspect of our sense of divine, because we are divine, and with divine we can create divine. And so this capacity, you know, and so throughout history, you know, we have populated the astral planes of our place with an incredible array of human created divinities, of many, many different types.
We shall have.
We shall have. This was a small problem, but not, we won't go into that just yet, but it has been now resolved, I believe. That because some of these divinities, of course, when there was the loss of the people that were feeding them, some of them became rogue and then wanted to feed on other things, because it's like, you know, no one's feeding me anymore. You know, where's my tribe? And so there became a bit of a difficulty in the ecosystem of human-created divinities. But there has been work of high consciousness that I'm aware of that has now unified this structure and cleansed it in order to make it again serve humankind through a more ordered frame. Anyway, that's another story. The other things, so this evidence of the human constantly seeking, imagining, connecting to, creating this divine is a demonstration of our sense of divine, of our ability to connect with this feeling of divine and continue to wish for it. It also, this same sense of divine is the aspect of ourself that allows ourself to extend our consciousness beyond the physical. Because here we are, you know, having our experience within our physicality. But, you know, Jenna was asking me this morning, going, you know, well, what then do you call awakening? You know, what if we're awakening to our divine, what does this look like? I said, well, you know, one of the first indicators of awakening to your sense of divine is the ability to be the witness or the watcher of yourself, the ability to be able to move beyond your physical experience and to be like that watcher of you having the physical experience. So that you get the sense suddenly that that point that, oh, I am spirit having my physical experience here upon the earth. As that perception comes in, this is the awakening of this sense of divine, because that's one of the feelings that it has. And you can build on this sense of divine for basically all of your out-of-body work. So for people who are able to do, you know, astral traveling, what are they doing? They are actually, it's actually their sense of divine that enables them to move the consciousness from the physical being and explore other things. The same thing if you're remote viewing, if you're any kind of basically out of body type experiences, from what I understand, work using this sense. This inner sense of divine is the bit that allows you to travel beyond the physicality and to perceive your world from a different place.
Is that the same as when we see ourselves in past lives? Is that what is happening to us when we do that?
when you're perceiving past lives. Perceiving past lives, from what I understand, uses this sense here, the sense of memory. Because what it's because soul actually is memory. So if you're going, okay, what is, what's the point of soul? You know, why do we have one? You know, we've got this spirit. So the spirit is like an aspect of the divine that's experiencing itself in the matter. So we all have, you know, this lovely, unique little aspect of divinity that has come into this world of form. And if, you know, it came in, it had an experience, you know, it might want to be in a crystal, it might want to be a human, it might want to be in whatever forms there are in order to experience something of the construct. When there is the return, there is the, you know, where does the experience collect that you have? So in your life, when you're experiencing your life and you're collecting the, not just the memory, and in fact, from what I understand, it's not like a movie channel of the experiences. It's more to do with the meaning that you're making, because it's actually the consciousness of the meaning of those experiences. Because we can all have, we are all sitting here in the teepee and we can all see the center. But, you know, I could describe what I'm seeing from my perspective, but Sonia would have a different description, even though we're looking at the same thing, yeah? And from that description, you know, the meaning that I may make of what is there might be different from the meaning that you create for what you're looking at. Because the meaning is the interaction of our perception and our consciousness and our soul development and all of these kind of things. We use that to make meaning out of the experience. The meaning is what is collected into the soul body. And so when then the soul passes and, you know, returns to the greater soul collective and, you know, reincarnates next time, then if you're connecting to like your past life, you're not connecting to a movie of events. You're connecting to the meaning that your soul made in that previous life. Yeah, that's actually what you're getting. Yeah. And that's why it has emotion.
Yeah.
And that's why it has, you know, all of these other things, because it depends on what meaning it made. Yeah.
Contribution.
Yeah. And it's the collection of the meaning. And that's why the soul must have a container. And that's why, you know, this symbol here is actually the sacred language symbol for soul. Because just like any container in the matrix, whether it is a physical container or an energetic container, it needs a matrix to contain it. And the matrix is formed of the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, because they exist at energetic level as well as physical. And so the matrix of the soul is a container of those, not just memories, but of the meaning that, so therefore the consciousness that you have created. No,
is our embodiment, our soul, in our causal body, what you might be privileged to see sometimes, your causal body, when you see that, you're neither female or male, but you've seen yourself as your causal body. That's, I've seen that as my soul, and an actual being.
It certainly is an integrated being of you. And yes, some people can perceive it as an entity in itself, for sure. Yeah, I can't see why not. It is because, you know, truly you're like a 3-in-1 machine here. You know, you have divine spark. You have your DNA, which holds all your ancestral lineage. And you have your soul incarnation, which then brings, your experience to grow that aspect of your divine element, if you want to put it in that way. So the other thing in this is like, why? You know, why do we do this? You know, what is the objective of the sense of divine? And really, you know, the objective is self-realization. You know, this aspect of to know ourselves or to experience ourselves so that as divinity we can, you know, grow and explore the world around us. This aspect of self-realization is an aspect of it. So through our experiences, we realize more of who we are, what we are, and increase the perception of that. And the other side of that being divine in experiencing the world of form is wishing to divinize the matter. So to divinize the matter, an example to get your head around that is like, I've used this one before, but imagine this rectangle is you, and that within your being you have physical matter and you have energetic form. So you have like light information, and light is like light codes. So light packets hold information. So within our being, we're a being of both matter and light. As we increase in our perceptual fields of consciousness, what happens is we embody more light codings. So in essence, we're increasing the complexity of information that we're able to hold within our being. When we do that, what happens is that, you know, as more light comes in, that the ratio between matter and light changes. And indeed, it's like the proportion is that we become less matter to more light. Even though, and in essence, what's happening is not so much that we start shrinking, you know, that'd be awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But what happens is actually we expand, the light body expands. So, but still the ratio between the light body and the matter changes, and we become more light compared to matter. Hence what that causes then, you know, we have language that's saying, okay, you know, we're wanting to raise our frequency, you know, drop our density. It speaks to the same thing. The way that we're raising our frequency is we're able to hold greater quantum light fields within. And then it's ratio to matter. Therefore, we say, yeah, we're losing density. We're raising our vibration in that way because we're containing more light. In this way, then, this is how we divinize matter. So we not only divinize ourselves, and then in this process, it's a process of self-realization, of knowing ourselves and being able to, you know, what we connect to and being able to resonate with within our being, brings this ability to divinize our own matter. But what's more effective, well, not more effective, but what is also part of the deal is that we divinize also the matter around us through the meaning that we add into things. And this is like the essence of like within, as I understand, like within the Golden Age, life was art, because the expression of themselves was to be able to bring meaning into everything that they created, and everything that they built and made held a high value of meaning, and therefore they will be able to embed the divine vibration of themselves into what it was they were creating. And then this would give off a vibration. And you can experience this yourself. You can experience it, you know, you can listen to music, but there'll be some music you'll listen to and you just get a sense of something so connective in that music, because the person who created to it was able to embed an aspect of what was flowing through them as their divinity into the music that was being created. And you can feel it, you know, it transports you. The same thing with artwork. Sometimes you can view art and then you'll see a piece and you go, oh my God, that's something, it just connects to you. This is because it has been divinized because the person creating it has been able to embed an aspect of their consciousness and their meaning into what they created, and it will hold it. This is divinizing the world of form. So as we grow in our consciousness, we grow in our love vibration, what do? We bring this love vibration into the world around us. We bring it through our meaning that we make of the things that we express, what we do, the garden that we care for. It can be in all kinds of things. In order for the divinity to increase its capacity to harvest, to know itself, to grow itself, the direction of evolution takes us in this direction of divinizing the world of form. And we do this through this sense of divine. And so this is one of the key purposes, is that two-way thing, to divinize ourselves through self-realization and to divinize the world around us by being able to transfer that sense of self and divinity to make meaning and to love the world around us. And this is a key expression of the soul in the sense of divine.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
I've been reading a book called... it's just going out of my mind now. It's not learning enough to do. What's the word when something glows by itself?
Phosphorescence.
Phosphorescence is the name of the book. Yeah, and she's speaking a lot about... Thank you. About the sense of awe and wonder, and I was just thinking about that as you were talking, that again is seems to me like a link into the sense of divinity, because when we are in the presence, that you were talking about art, but she's talking about all kinds of things in the natural world, that when we have those moments of absolute awe, it's way beyond anything human. That is the sense of the divine. I mean, I was looking at the altar and going, well, really, as more people are becoming aware of the sentience of plants and animals and rocks and crystals, that we're again reinforcing the divinity, because we're actually acknowledging the divinity that's already within them. And that is also divinizing the matter. Yes. I mean, it's already divine, but yeah, it's actually bringing it into the collective consciousness and therefore divinizing the matter.
Yes. And we weave meaning in how we connect it. Yeah. And that also elevates it, because in the essence we're unifying it.
Dolores Cannon, in one of her things, she talks to regress someone to a past life who was actually in the shame. And she talked about us actually, even in machines, our spark goes into a machine, and that also is bringing divinity into machines.
Yes, I've heard, there are many worlds that, the soul can inhabit, a created body, a machined body in many ways, but it still can actually hold consciousness.
I was reminded of the movie A Dark Crystal as you were talking, because this whole idea of shadow work and working on it and all that. The loving it is so important, because that's that sort of integration, isn't it? Because, bringing the love in, and not just individually. Well, you can't do it for other people until you do it for yourself. So it's so easy to look at a crystal and go, wow, see the divinity in that. But it's realizing that that's actually in you. I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people, because they've got conditioning that they're not divine, or there's something wrong with them, or and it's the trauma and stuff that happens that creates this split off with a shadow. And at the end of the dark crystal, the mystics and the skeptics merge into one, and then they become into a light body. And, we've sort of got this thing going on inside ourselves, but with everything that's happening, I'm seeing a lot of people, on the two sides of the story, the two sides of the decision, not liking each other. But really, if the lesson is to hold our inner shadow with love, then we have to hold that as well, don't we? And that's that integration into the light body.
Yeah, and this aspect of, you, because again, another aspect that sits with this sense of divinity is actually this sense of the diversity within the unity, you know, because divinity experiences itself in the diversity, but of course it's all part of the one. And that our sense of divine, as we experience it more and more, then we get this experience much more of, you know, you were just another me, you know, you're just another variant of the divine self, because the sense of divine is the part of ourselves that helps us experience oneness, because it comes from the one source, even though it's expressed in diversity.
I think also that the trauma and the separation also is related to the loss of the sense of memory, because we don't all always remember our past lives and who, you know, like what we actually are in our entirety. We only this very limited piece of self.
Yes.
It's also important to, I was telling that lovely, so I didn't catch
Sam.
Sam, I was telling her during the break that I trained many, many years ago with Dolores, so I became a regression therapist for a number of years. And I think it's really important for me, I'm not trying to tell anyone else what to say or think or do, but for me, I came to the realisation that I have lived in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced myself, and I'm currently the magnetic force that holds the planets in place. I have experienced myself as liquid light plasma. I experienced myself in a number of forms that aren't biological, and they're not past lives. I've had many past lives in this dimensional space, but I think it's of value to think in terms of much broader multidimensional perspective on multiple levels. Then you are really talking about soul work.
Yes. And, you know, as they say, you know, often, you know, as we are growing our souls, we can experience ourselves as soul parts on many levels at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it's not bound by time, and nor is it bound by dimension. And that these gateways here, which take us into that next level, help us see that territory a lot more, because we dissolve these time frames and we dissolve these limitations to our perception, so that we realize we live within a territory, and that yes, absolutely, for many of us, what we call past lives, we should really term other lives.
And Anne and I were talking, we talked about Arcturus, which is something we're both familiar with. So it's not only on this planet, it's also multiple planets. And also with the planets, it's in different time scales with the planets. So you're not going to Mars as it is now, you're going to Mars in a different time and space.
Yeah.
So I think it's much more complex and also much more simple, because it's a real fluidity in all of this, that we tend to put barriers up and say, well, it has to be this, it has to be that.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't
try. No. But sometimes that sense of containment helps us focus on what we're growing and learning. So it also enhances the experience, because if we always had complete memory of all of the other parts, then would we have the same experience being here? So we choose to be here in this way, having this experience. Of course, when we are not here and we're back in our soul aspect, then we're no longer bound by space and time anyway. So we have a much more fuller sense of who we really are. That and so, yeah, you know, we choose to inhabit dimensions and time and space for our growth and learning.
Mm.
And this is where we are.
Nice.
Yeah, good.
Coming back to the divinization, and when Akira, you were first speaking, and you know, divinizing, you know, the crystals, or also acknowledging they're already divinity, I just had that feeling, you know, and it's come, you know, that namaste, it's, you know, I'm seeing and recognizing your spark from my spark, that through our divinization of something that already is divine, not only are we creating that meaning for ourselves and collectively, but also giving those aspects an opportunity to remember and go, oh, that's right, okay, this is who I am, and to put that into the current perspective of the moment, you know, so you're recalling that spark of divinity within you. So to see all those others who are forgetting that and immersed in the conflict of
the situation, the more that you can hold that divinization of them, encourage them.
What a wonderful way to say that. That was fantastic. Yeah. That's the best statement all day. That was amazing. You're just putting into words what is going on.
Yeah. But if you can hold that through the ether towards them, it will encourage them to
remember.
Remember.
You're the reason I came today. You have put into words.